staff and stay. God's word for you, Isaiah 3, verses 1 to 3. See, the Lord of armies, is about to remove every staff and stay from Jerusalem and Judah, all the supplies of bread and all the supplies of water, the hero and the warrior, the judge and the prophet, the one who reads omens and the elder, the commander of 50 and the respected leader, the advisor, the idol maker, and the spell caster. This chapter takes a step back from Judgment Day to the judgment coming to Judah and Jerusalem in the more immediate future in Isaiah's time. It will be something like the end of the world, but there will be a remnant. The repentance will still be possible. Here, the society of Judah collapses in various ways. First, legitimate and illegitimate leaders will be removed. That's 3:1 to 3, our verses today. Then the wrong people will become leaders. Some chosen as leaders will object, verses 6 and 7. Judah will be judged on account of her deeds, verses 8 to 11. And yet the wicked deeds will continue, verse 12. Then the Lord will come to judge, verses 13 to 15. The Lord judges the wicked women. That's from there to the end of the chapter, first for their arrogance, then by removing their finery, and finally by removing their beauty and their men. Now, to begin with, Isaiah foresees the end of leadership in the city and in the nation, and he uses the phrase staff and stay, its only appearance in the Bible. In Hebrew, this is both the masculine and the feminine forms of the same word, staff, support. It seems to be an idiom for every form of support. Now, the English phrase is curious and worth looking at. A staff is obviously a walking stick of any kind. But what is a stay? In more recent times, more recent centuries, stays are the whalebone or wooden bindings sewn into women's dresses to tighten the tummy? A fashion that thankfully did not last very long. The older English meaning that goes back to the time of the King James Version and earlier is nautical. In a sailing ship, a stay is a rope or chain that supports a mast so that it does not move or spring, that is, wiggle back and forth with the rise and fall of the ship or the movement of the winds, and so on. It's an important part, perhaps the most important part, of the ship's rigging. Stays are still used today in sailing ships and in other vessels with anything with, like, such as a funnel or slender masts that are, you know, used for radio and other equipment, as in military ships. Surely Solomon's navy and later Israelite ships had to use some form of stays, no matter what they were called. The navies are mentioned in 2 Chronicles 8 and 1 Kings 9. The doubled use of support here is not the same as the rod and staff pairing in Psalm 23:4. God is the one who established governments and positions of leadership. Therefore, he can remove as well as establish. First, the food and water will come to an end. Then soldiers and their officers, such as the hero or mighty man, the warrior, and the commander of 50. Other leaders are mentioned, like judge, prophet, elder, leader, advisor. And interspersed with them in the list are illegitimate leaders who are, of course, also interspersed throughout actual society, the readers of omens, the idol maker, and the spell caster or sorcerer. Now, reader of omens, or soothsayer, is a fortune teller, and Jeremiah also condemns them. He says, they are prophesying a false vision to you, a worthless divination, something from their own imagination. That's Jeremiah 14:14. It might be argued that the word does not necessarily have a negative connotation here. Luther just says, they're learned men. In verse 3, the idol maker could simply be a skilled craftsman. Again, Luther says architects. But the word has a specific idea of a man who overlays metal plating, such as gold plating, on a carved image. This is the work known as peening that gives the rounded ball-peen hammer its name. Should spellcaster at the end of verse 3 also be taken in some acceptable way? Remember that these are all leaders or counselors that are being removed by God, whether legitimate or not. But in a positive, godly sense, this person could be a political secretary or advisor, someone who can, as we say, read the room or a situation and understand its dangers and opportunities. But since the Hebrew term lachash means to whisper or to charm a snake or to make magical amulets for women, a more negative and even sinister meaning seems appropriate. Witchcraft and superstition run contrary to the will of God. Superstition, especially astrology, is a pitfall to many Christians. Once they become acquainted with such things, they either abandon them as foolishness, or else there is a little hook that gets set, and the superstition will follow them around, often for the rest of their lives. They are often blind to it, finding a way to balance it with their faith in Jesus, but seeing the stars, perhaps, as signs given to mankind to help us in our lives, that's an excuse I've heard said. The problem with that line of thinking is that the Lord never once says that in his word, but he does tell us the reason that he made the sun, moon, and stars. God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to divide the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them serve as lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth." And it was so. Genesis 1:14-15. And as for those who look to those created things for advice or to give omens, they are grouped with idolatry in God's eyes. Those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and moon, to the constellations, and to all the starry hosts. That's 2 Kings 23:5. And what of those people who struggle with such things? Well, we should teach them. Me as a pastor and you as a mother, a father, a brother, sister, or friend. And then each of us needs to be reminded of the many sins in our lives that we are blind to as well. Preserve us from these failings, Lord Jesus. But we take comfort that being offered to God through baptism, we are received into God's grace. That's from the Augsburg Confession, Article 9, Part 2. For Jesus Christ loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Trust in his forgiveness. Speak the truth in love. And look to the plank in your own eye. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.